Welcome to the Miracle Nutrition Radio Program, starring Hardy White. I'm Bill Novak. Join the Johnny So Orchestra and Hardy's friends Lou Saccone, Warren McGee, Max Fisher, and the rest of the gang at So and So Corners for a genuine old, good old time. From the folks who brought you presents, it's Hardy White and friends. There's a terrible typo in my new book. Every time the word tackle appears, it's spelled tickle. This wouldn't be so bad, except that it's a book about blank.
Fishing.
Football.
Tape.
Tape is good, Mr. Fisher. You're on a roll.
I watched some old Dick Van Dyke shows last night, and it gave me a feel of what it's like to write as a team.
I like how one of the writers is consistently unfunny so as to provide balance.
You can be the hardest working comedy writer and not be the funniest.
In fact, there's an expression. You're trying too hard to be funny.
No one ever says you're trying too hard to be serious.
Or you're trying too hard to lick trumpets or do research.
What?
Lick trumpets?
Oh, I guess that's a regional expression. There were these pictures of the mayor's wife released in a divorce trial, and she's licking a trumpet. And the lawyer made some comment like, it doesn't look like she's trying very hard. That was the comeback. I forget what it was in response to. That's what made me think of that.
It's funny what associations we make like that.
Unfortunately, it's not funny, or we'd be gold right now. It's merely baffling.
Well, what have you got?
I have a joke. And first, I'll just say, sometimes it takes a four-year-old to remind us of what is funny.
What's the joke?
It's something like poopies. We laughed so hard. I forget what the setup is, but the way he says it, poopies.
And you don't remember the setup.
Maybe it's like, what does that look like? Or what is your head like? Man, kids.
I need ideas for the show.
Why?
So there will be content.
Why can't you just make your own ideas?
Why does there need to be content?
What is a show or a need?
I like when we cooperate in making the story that drives the show.
Like when I yell, look out! What was that?
I don't know. It looks like a rock with a note attached to it.
Or a rotten log.
What's the note say?
It's not legible.
Because it's a log.
If it were legible, it would probably be a threat against this group of ours. Somebody doesn't like what we're doing.
So, you guys are making a mistake that a lot of folks make when a tree limb falls, and that is concluding we are under attack.
I propose we implement the self-destruct mechanism where we blow up the known universe using that code that the alien race gave us.
The code? If you think I saved that tiny little piece of paper for this long, you are deluded. No, I say we do nothing. It's just what they would expect.
Who are they?
I don't know.
Third base.
The rap group? To be fair, it's just search.
I say there is no enemy.
Just relax and take a look at the log.
Oh, okay, my bad. There is a threat written on the log.
What does it say?
It says, we'll be right back after these messages.
All right, well done. Good job, everybody.
I don't feel as if you're really exploiting my talent the way you could if I had more lines.
I'm popping out for Curry. Who's with me?
We only have 30 seconds, Lou.
I'll be quick. I'm going to Hurry Curry's. Anyone want anything?
Where's the menu? Oh, this one sounds good. Basil leaves the hotel for Polly and Manuel to watch for the kitchen inspector.
Oh, that's Faulty Towers. That's good. Get it Thai hot.
Done.
Do they have a thousand-year egg?
No, it's a Thai place, not Chinese.
Then I'll get the tortilla espanol and the big sardines.
Anything else?
We're back on in 5 seconds, Lou.
I'm back. I'll put the food in the break room. Start without me.
Let's just relax and take a look at the log.
Okay. Oh, my bad. There is a threat written on the log.
I'll do his line.
All right.
What does it say?
It says, we know you're trying to write a show, and we know who you really are.
I'm just curious about who we are. Click accept.
No, it's just a note, and there's no contact information.
Maybe down at the bottom.
Oh, okay, here's a web page and an email and all.
I can enter it into my AOL and see if we get anything.
Who would try to stop us from simply writing a show? How can that be threatening?
Maybe it was our last show, Rise Up and Overthrow Your Leaders. The one where we sing all the instructions for propaganda, political organization, and armed insurrection over a trap beat.
Watch out!
What?
No. Remember that one thing right before the drop? Watch out! Look at the money. Watch out! Watch out!
Watch out! Oh, I love that.
Watch out! For real!
What was that?
A demon?
A ghost?
A witch?
I think it was a gypsy moth. A lot of green goblin sightings are actually gypsy moths.
Fools! You will get yours!
What does that mean?
Like, he'll get his and we'll get ours. Every man for himself.
It's like Randian objectivism.
Sir, are you a libertarian?
Be quiet, fools, all of you!
I think this is a hologram, and I'm gonna take a gamble by speaking hologram-ese to it. Mesh playa gozits?
Do my mother want?
Oh, wait. Mosh playa gozits?
I'll tell you what I want! And by the way, I'm not a hologram. I just picked up the language in the army.
That's cool.
Is that someone's phone?
That's me. Sorry, I have a sitter, so I have to take this.
Look, I'm going to come back later when you people obviously aren't so busy.
Wait, sorry.
That was headquarters. Apparently, there's a goblin demon threatening the creative life of the country, and we're to put our superhero suits on.
I'm out!
I hate my suit. I'm just going to say it. I hate my suit and my so-called power.
I don't think we should have to wear helmets. We're adults, and it impairs my vision. But your helmet has supervision built in. You can see in all directions and in the entire electromagnetic spectrum. Okay, well, the reality is I look cooler without it.
My suit makes me look like Jonathan Winters in It's a Mad, 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 Mad World.
I don't like mine either. And while I don't mind the idea of uniforms, ours are all different, so they aren't really even uniforms. They're more like sideshow costumes. Especially mine, since it's modeled on Schlitzy.
Well, the chief wants us to get our super suits on, so let's do it. Lou, could you make reservations at the super club in case we're done early?
No reservations on Thursday. Open bowling.
Okay, well, let's all get dressed and meet back here in the lobby in 30 minutes.
I don't need 30 minutes to put on green coveralls.
Well, I want to shower and all and look up some stuff online about goblins. If you're done early, there's complimentary tea and cookies under the portrait of Baron Mummenfrisch.
Man, I hate that portrait. The eyes follow you everywhere. I walked past it the other day, got to my room, and I turn around, and there are the eyes rolling around on the carpet. And then they nonchalantly roll right past like they weren't following me.
Enough chatter.
It's the chief.
Forget the suit, boys. We're going casual.
What's up, chief? Why the personal visit?
I can't trust any of the usual channels like Facebook chat. This is super secret stuff. There is an international conspiracy to destroy creative thought.
Wow.
Subtle stuff.
The enemy is planting seeds of self-doubt in the heads of all the world's great artists.
What do you think, Hardy?
Well, it's just seeds. And self-doubt isn't necessarily bad.
Are you saying there is no threat?
Well, if all other problems were gone, yes, then there would be a problem. But it seems to me that that one's pretty intangible. I thought we were going to fight a brutal warlord or a space demon.
Yeah, I wasn't just working out for my health.
We're a battle team of sorts.
We're brutal.
I feel we're very brutal.
Listen, you numbcompoops, you're lucky to have jobs. Now get back to work and write a radio show.
Jeez, the chief is always mad. Why did he even go into entertainment?
I think he started in education administration or something and was a principal and then an agent. I don't even know.
I bought slacks from him at Jackson Byron back in the day.
He pumped gas for a while, too, after his divorce.
Man, the guy can't keep a job or a wife. No wonder he's so sour.
For the love of Pete, I'm still here.
Oh, sorry, Chief.
We are one of the few shows that still uses imaginary writers, and if you aren't careful, there won't be any.
We'll get back to work. Don't worry, Chief.
Man, that was stressful. Oh, right, is he gone?
What is wrong with you people?
It's radio, Chief. There's no pictures.
But I'm standing right in front of you.
We've internalized radio a great deal.
I dream in it sometimes.
A lot of times the voice in my head, I think, is my conscience, is Art Bell.
Mine is Dr. Demento.
Mine is Mother Angelica, but mixed with Clay Pigeon.
Oh, do it.
I'm not going to do it.
We need a writing plan. Like, a lot of shows are about something or have a setting. We have nothing. We live in the blank matrix or the place where that insurance lady lives. It's just a big white blank room.
Shouldn't the show be about something?
Often I'll read up on a subject for the show, like a philosophy or history book, and then try to integrate that into it.
Like Diogenes.
Right.
Or decision theory.
Right. Or Land of the Lost. Yes.
Well, what did you read this week?
Well, just the news. I read a little about mutual aid societies, which I often do. Nothing much. I realize that some weeks maybe I don't even read.
Well, that's super helpful. Thanks. We'll just throw together a rough draft about you not reading and all, and how that's okay, too.
Harsh.
It's just that your own art manifesto says that art should be at least pragmatic. And if you don't like the painting, you should at least be able to use it to eat your breakfast on or something.
That's not even remotely what I said.
If you don't like the sculpture, at least you can hang your hat on it.
No, I didn't say that. If your art is crap, at least you can use it to crap something up real good.
Something I don't agree with in your art manifesto, and I think I speak on behalf of the whole group, is how it implies that everything you make is necessarily great and immune from criticism.
Implying that there is a vaccine for criticism.
When in fact, the only way to gain immunity is to be bitten by Picasso.
That is a myth. I want to rename our artistic movement from Hardyism to Mr. Fisher's Art Fanciers.
There's nothing called Hardyism.
I refuse to leave Hardy. He came up with the idea to have an art brotherhood like the Pre-Raphaelites, but also a bit like the Kiwanis Club. And he got the clubhouse space that we are now in, and it's his credit card number that we use when we buy art supplies, so-called. By the way, everybody good?
I'm good.
Good.
What?
I have some experimental poetry I've written for this occasion of this great debate and the birth of Neo-Hardyism.
Let's get back to writing, guys. I have an idea for a show where we all fall into a comic book.
Many, many jumbo upa tanken. Kalal, kalal, vvratanya la stanken. Mother of the wits. Coco nose, co pry nose. Mother of the wits has come to roost.
Stoo, too, 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 too. Stoo, too, 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 too.
I want to thank everyone for coming tonight to Club Moliere and to our little art movement with which we hope to change the world in an imaginary way.
Down with art movements!
Brother Hansarp, who likes me, is recognized by the floor.
The floor may recognize me, but the walls think I'm their long-dead brother.
I also have a poem.
Mr. Warren Bourgeoisie.
That was it. That was the poem. The words I spoke. But also the motion of rising. The whole series of actions was the poem.
Thank you, Mr. Bourgeoisie.
I'm not done. This is also part of the poem.
Oh, sorry.
As is your apology, which you know because we rehearsed this.
You guys, this is all very surreal.
Ugh.
What?
You're using that word correctly. I hate that.
Everything is a rule with this guy.
Are we done with the art thing? Can we start to talk about actual ideas? Are we still in the poem?
No.
We are not in the poem. We are not in the art salon. We are not at the Café Molière. We are sitting here at the writer's table for Miracle Nutrition in a circle with our hands on our control panels. Mr. Fisher, are we good to launch?
All systems are light purple with the yellow flashing area around the edge. The dogs are wide and we are two gold fingers for takeoff.
Warren, sector secured.
Yes. Yes, they are. Wait, no.
Yes.
Lou, are you ready to roll ride?
I'm belted, pelted, and melted, my brother. Bring on the sparkle show.
In 5, 4, 3, 2...
Hello, everyone. Live from the Pensamina Club in Marilita, Florida, it's Hardy White's Full Moon Hour, starring Hardy White with his friends Gal Bimney, Lou Register, Warren Bourgeoisie, and Mr. Fisher as the neighbor. Join Hardy and the Johnny So Orchestra for the adventures of the new guy.
Hello, dearest work chum.
Hello, Joe.
Hello, Joe.
What are you doing?
We're trying to come up with ideas.
Are you having a seance?
No, we're just throwing out ideas.
Oh, you should throw them out. I heard most of them and they're pretty stale.
Now, Joe, either participate or don't. But you can't just stand there and criticize.
Oh, yes, I can. I could do it all day long. I love to criticize. I could go for a chair, though.
How about we do a show where we explore the inner workings of the unconscious mind?
Oh, boy.
Joe, you don't like that one?
Boring. If by unconscious you mean what I'll be after listening to the show, then yeah. What were we talking about?
Go on, Warren. Like I was saying,
you guys need pep.
Joe?
You need action, I'm telling you. Like an action movie or a car accident or something. Question. Who is this?
I was having the same thought.
Oh, this is Joe, a new writer. Why?
Well, the chief thought he'd stir things up.
Like my stomach? This guy gives me the agita, man.
Hey, those are fighting words.
I'll fight you. Now you're making my dreams come true, little man.
Go on, break it up, break it up. Come on now. Joe has a point. We shouldn't be boring.
But let's concede that boring does have a place in radio's long, rich history.
And so does pep.
There is a place for both boring and peppy on radio.
I was always told that radio was invented to open Hitler's garage door. It was only later we discovered you could pay people to play your music on it.
It has a long history, radio does. Idea. We do a show about the greats in radio history.
Who is the guy who was on in Florida?
Dave Dixon? He was on TV in Florida, but radio in Detroit. Jack Benny.
A Jack Benny tribute would be great.
Jack Benny's mom works at my neighborhood dry cleaners.
Not possible.
Not everyone is rich and famous.
No, I mean she'd be like 140. It's impossible.
People are living longer now.
My dentist is 100.
Really? He can still practice? Is he any good?
Oh, no, he's long dead.
Let's just say we don't know who is really related to whom.
Nearly everyone working at my local grocery store is the relative of a famous person.
Really?
Statistically speaking,
the chances you are famous and don't know it are 50 to 1.
I don't think so.
If you had a stat of your own, I'd take you more seriously.
You're all just pulling this out of thin air.
Not thin air. Out of the collective consciousness.
What?
If enough people have a bit of information, it is retrievable using your own consciousness.
You can download what you need from the brain web by concentrating.
You see, it's the 100 monkeys principle.
Yeah, if 100 monkeys believe something, it's true.
Now that I believe, sort of.
Well, here's the first draft of the show.
When did you write this?
While we were talking, just now. I think you'll like it, which is good because we go on in a few minutes.
You guys ready?
You need water or performance drugs?
Come on, Mr. Fisher, I don't need that.
Helps to stay hydrated, but your call.
We are studio ready.
We have broadcast frequency.
Hardy is in the chair. Can we get a test?
Testing the mic.
Let's hear the alphabet.
The whole thing?
Just pee.
Wait, hold on, don't pee.
No, I'm having him just say pee to test the mic.
Oh, good, because urine messes up the equipment for some reason.
Live and learn.
Hey, I'm gonna try something different.
What are you doing?
I'm gonna do this show nude.
I don't think that's allowed.
What are you doing?
This is indecent exposure. You can't do this.
First, we're on radio, so no one can see.
I can see.
I see as well.
I see, and there's 3 minutes of it on YouTube already.
There is nothing shameful about the human body. I'm just being open and free and saying, look, I am how God made me.
Well, God must have changed one of his suppliers for your run because you're made funny.
Not a traditional looking body.
What's wrong with it?
The torso and limb area are odd.
I was going to say the body and body parts.
I feel like every statue has it a bit wrong. Like there's a whole shape of human not being represented.
We're more than our appearances.
I'm not responsible for the way my body looks.
I think some of it you are. It looks rather neglected.
Well, I don't exercise like I should.
It looks like someone inherited a duplex, but was never told about it. And then someone broke in and lived there, but then they died and mummified and the place got run down. And then 10,000 years passes and it's a large superstore.
I feel vulnerable enough being naked without your criticism.
Some of it's culture.
I guess.
Like I want to get a culture of what's on your chair after you stand up and get shots for it now.
That's a strange tattoo choice.
It's not a tattoo.
Are you sure you're not wearing a shirt?
No, I'm completely nude.
Are you cold?
A little.
Then put something on.
Well, I came into the world like this, so I can stand it for a little while.
You were goo covered, and goo is insulated.
I came into this world in a little suit, which was part of the placenta, but it had taken the shape of a pink leisure suit. And so, boy, did I look sharp, brother.
You have a lot of body hair.
Not the most I've seen.
No, just a lot.
Okay, y'all.
I like this opportunity of getting to look at a misshapen body for a while and contemplate just how repulsive nature can be.
Thanks.
And yet there's something weirdly compelling about it.
I don't have that.
I guess go ahead and get started with your naked show.
No, I've lost my nerve. Hand me my pants.
You're on your own, Arthur. Dress yourself. Let's just do what we always do. You start, and I'll hand you jokes and ideas on the fly.
That's so risky, though.
Granted. But the spontaneity creates energy.
And the energy creates jobs.
And the jobs create stability and culture and give rise to museums.
Hence, museum shops.
Hence, coffee table books of paintings and mugs with artists' self-portraits.
Tired of looking at art? I am. Coffee!
Let's hit the cafe.
I'm with you.
You gotta put your pants back on, though.
Question. What happens to people like the Chief and Joe when they aren't with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Well, the Chief.
I don't know. Maybe they live at the school.
Hey, look at this newspaper headline, guys. Imaginary radio riders wanted in spectacular bank heist. Turns out that they robbed this bank in broad daylight using techniques of magic gleaned from the Russian novel The Master and Margarita.
They got Walland.
Keep reading.
It says there's a naked one. A big one who looks like Jonathan Winters in It's a Mad, 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 Mad World. A short fella in a suit. And another smaller fella in a suit. And then an even smaller fella in a straw hat. It says that they took thousands of dollars and caused a commotion at a theater.
Wow.
Now that's an idea for a show.
If only something that exciting had happened in our lives.
You know, though, those descriptions sound familiar. You guys, I think we accidentally robbed a bank.
How is that possible?
I think maybe I thought it, but didn't realize we were writing and that everything you think when you're writing actually happens.
Don't think things like that when you're writing.
I know.
We talked about that.
I know.
When you write, make your mind blank and invite only familiar thoughts.
I get lost in my head.
Not again.
I'm not going in there again looking for you like in issue 67.
That's them, officers. Get them.
It's the Chief. He set us up.
What? Why?
No time to talk. Go into Operation Scattershot and check in at rendezvous time. Team Hardy on the go.
Team Hardy, super do it.
Why did the Chief sell us out? I have to get to the nearest safe house and make a call to Wanda in the file room. Is there a mole? Is it Lou? Is it Warren? Is the Chief in on it? Or is he being duped? I need to speak to Wanda, and then I need to get a signal to Edward. But first, I have to ditch these French police. I wonder if that Tobac on Rue de Cologne is still one of ours. There it is. Is the signal out? It is. I'll hide in there.
Bonjour, monsieur. Maintenant est la tombe du mot. Bon mot, Larry, le fromage. In here, friend.
Shopkeeper, did you see a man run by?
Yes, he went that way.
Merci.
No, thank you.
Thanks, friend. I'm Hardy.
Oh, I know who you are. I work for the carnival, too.
I'm deep cover. In fact, you're the first person other than myself I've ever met who works for the Congress.
Well, your service is appreciated.
Whatever. Are you on a mission?
I guess I am now. I'm in a rather sticky situation.
A sticky wicket?
I guess.
I'll tell you what. Let's get you cleaned up and a fresh passport and get you to a safe house.
Agreed. I need to use the phone. Excuse me. Wanda, my dear.
I hear you robbed a bank.
I did not. Or at least I don't think I did.
Everyone at the carnival and everybody at the house of Badenoch thinks you did. You and your little band of Hardy's people.
Wanda, could one of them be a mole?
Anything is possible. The chief's been keeping to himself a lot lately, meaning he's suspicious. No one talks to me anyway, so I never notice if I'm under suspicion.
Could you just peek at our files and see if there's anything strange, any additions or subtractions or recent perusals?
Will do, but don't expect much. If it's internal, Carnival will cover our butts pretty well. Nothing so sloppy. But I'll look anyway, because it'll make you feel better.
Thank you, darling.
Darling? You must be afraid of death.
Well, I'm not particularly relaxed.
I'll signal you tomorrow, Moscow rules, if I find something. Our park, the usual.
Again, you are a saint.
Up yours!
Here's some hot soup I made from the tobacco.
I think I'll pass.
There's no tobacco in it. It's just chicken.
Oh, thanks.
Are you ever afraid of being found out?
What do you mean?
I mean this undercover spy life. Ever afraid someone will find out?
Well, the enemy more or less knows who I am, and our side knows me even better, so I have fewer secrets than you think.
I'm a lawyer.
Really?
I'm not a newsstand owner at all. I joined the government out of law school, transferred to the carnival, and this was my first assignment. A safe towback.
At least you're doing field work and not office work.
Office work? I'm the head of the Toback Kiosk Workers Union locally. Nothing but paperwork. And all in service of a lie. I spend all my time living a fake life to cover for a real one I never use.
Oh, that's messed up.
Tell me about it.
Listen, I need to get some sleep if I'm going to be any good tomorrow.
I'll let you sleep. In fact, if you ate that soup I gave you, you're going to sleep pretty good.
What? Did you drug me? Am I blobbers?
Baby bomb? Baby bomb? Baby bomb? Baby bomb? Maybe bombs is good. Look at all the horses. Mr. Fisher, put it away. You're in Europe. Just come on. Where am I?
I'll check the files.
My barber is 100 years old.
I'm Warren's barber.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Come into the water with me. It's fine. You won't drown.
What are you?
Where are you taking me? To buy some jeans.
Levi's.
Why?
They shrink to fit.
Sizes. Dream you were flying. Wait.
Welcome to the other side, Hardy. Edward, how did you get here? Are you dead? No, and neither are you. But I did find you screaming and tripping in the streets of Paris, France, and so I brought you to a safe house. The Toback guy. A double agent, I'm afraid. It was a shock to the House of Badenoch, too. They forgot they had the old boy. Cigarette? No, thanks. I don't smoke. Hash? Sure. I have a question about what happened.
So, were we set up by the chief, or was it someone inside my circle who sold me out? I can't believe it was Lou. Say it wasn't
Lou. You really need to exhale, chap.
Sorry.
Did you want to get any? You forgot what we were talking about, didn't you? Listen, I've been under a lot of stress. First, it was writing the show, then it was dealing with change, and now it's getting drugged and betrayed. I understand, old boy. It's a lot to go through in the name of radio. But we're not lucky enough to be on TV. What did you just say? I said it's a lot to go through. Never mind. Edward, do you mind grabbing that jacket for me? I have a bit of a chill. I've taken my foot and kicked Edward unconscious. That wasn't Edward. He clearly is not an agent of radio.
Hardy, are you okay?
Lou, you found me.
You were in your chair at work all along.
And Warren, you're here too.
I was also asked to come.
You guys, you've saved me once again.
Well, our troubles aren't over. We're still on the run from the chief of police. But we did do one thing. We went back and got our super suits. And so now, we are the Hardy Friends Riders 4.
Plus one. Yes, and we will be a renegade band of justice fighters who go around doing radio things.
And perhaps we'll do promotional events for nonprofits.
I'd like to get in fights with bad guys.
We could still do that.
I like to hit. But I don't want to hit nice people, or sweet people, or people who are weak or sad.
Well, what do we call ourselves?
I guess the Friends and Riders, F-A-W, 4. Faw 4. The Faw 4 plus 1.
Why not 5?
Because you are not fully in the clique. It's like Funky 4 plus 1.
I've got a bad feeling we will never agree on a name, which means no comic book.
What do you mean?
Well, we can't be a comic book if we never have a name for the group.
How about 4 Writers of the Apocalypse, but spell lips, like with a Z, maybe?
I like Funky 4 plus 1.
No, but that's taken.
I want the Floppies. That might be a group already,
no,
though.
No, it's got to be something original. I don't know. My name doesn't have to be in it, necessarily. It can just be... So it doesn't have to be Hardy's this, and we don't have to have numbers in it. And it doesn't have to be a word. It could just be a sound or something. As long as you can use typesetting type to spell it out, it can be anything. We just got to agree on an order of letters or symbols. And it's like coming up with a password. The password is our name. Or it's like naming a child or a pet. Or, like I say, if you had to name pets or children, but with password symbols, you write the name of the child in the... birth certificate, you're right, just Robert, and the hospital looks at it and they go, I'm sorry, you gotta have at least one symbol and one number in there, because there's so many people named Robert now, and they don't even think to do that. Hospital could easily do that. Another thing that we should look into is getting everybody to have some sort of picture, somebody they admire, on the palm of their hand. It doesn't have to be anybody great, it could be most people just get their mom or something like that. I don't know who I'm going to get done. And there's others that will have auctions, and you have to pay what to get your... Say, you're going to be my palm face. It's not like face palm. So you get my palm face. It's different. And it's up for auction. I'm selling mine for $1 million. And basically, it's not like being somebody's god, but it is like being the person that they look at. When they look at their hand, and they go, should I do this? So a lot of people say there's an expression, I'm not going to say the word, the harsh word, but you can't put duty or excrement on your palm face, all right? And it just means you can't disrespect that person, because it was your mom or anything. The pictures they have are now so realistic. The ones that I've seen back in the day, they didn't look anything more than stick figures. Some people would do something very drastic. There was a hill people that would carve... And this is going to, a lot of you, is going to upset your stomachs. Carve like one of those apple core face people, and then slit their palm and put that in there, okay? Until the apple face took the shape, the skin took the face. I don't know what happens to the apple inside. Your body puts some kind of protective thing around it to make it into a big tumor, but it maintains the face of the little withered person. That's a kindly old woman who lives by the sea. Her face, the weather and all, has made her face look like she's a wicked witch, but really she's just a sweet old lady who works out in the weather a lot, collecting buttons and all sorts of shell creatures and everything. We all love her and we have a name for her, but I won't tell you what that is because it's crude, and I guess we shouldn't mock her, but really she's not a nice person. She's a decent person when you talk to her, but it's her business dealings. She's a slumlord. She uses all the money she gets from collecting matchsticks and all, and then she's got these apartment buildings that she doesn't maintain. And you say, well, she doesn't have enough money to keep them up. If she doesn't have any money to keep them up, she has no business owning apartment buildings. And that goes for all matchstick meemaws out on the street or whatever.
I want to sing a song.
You're doing it, Hardy. You're coming up with it.
I am, aren't I?
Yeah, man. You don't need us. We're going to take a break.
Now, whoa. You can't just run off like that. The whole thing of having writers is that sometimes I'll be talking, and I'll look around and I want to say to you something like, you guys, who was it that was, who is Ford's vice president? And then when you can look it up.
All right.
Well, look it up.
I don't have to look it up. It's Nelson Mandela.
I don't think it was Nelson Mandela.
It was now. He's got part of it right. Someone Mandela.
No.
Nelson Ford Nelson.
No, that's nobody.
Oh, come on, man. It's the son of famous Nelson, one of the famous families in the country. Like Nelson was Nelson DuPont.
All right. That's good. And I think that does sound right. I know there used to be a DuPont something. Was it a network?
And a vice president. And then who was the vice president after him? Was called ABC. I'm just kidding. But that's his initials, though. Alfred Lord something.
I don't remember a lot of the U.S. presidents. Well, I mean, many of them reigned. I say reigned. They don't really reign because you have to vote them in. But what's the word I want?
Overlooked.
No, that's not it. Anyway, it's almost pointless having writers because they yell the wrong things. But they had the presidency in their hand many years before I was even born. And so they are not, like the ancients used to say, on my radar. I don't have them. Do you know radar stands for something? Self-contained underworld or breathing apparatus? I didn't even know that until recently. That a lot of things you say, wow, I didn't know that. But you feel the fool a lot of times. You say something over and over again. Laser, light-emitting sensitive area, I don't know, something. That's one, too. A lot of things are accurate. Hardy, those are cute, fun mind games to do. So I'm going to make acronyms out of people's names. Make little sentences that describe their personality. Oh, that's what the enemy wants you to do. They want you to do puzzles and things like that. Come up with little cute parlor games and everything. And what the devil wants you to do is get good at something useless and then pull the rug out from under you. That's the way you say, oh, I'm finally good at this video game or something. Step back and look at yourself. What have you become good at? I've become good at brain surgery. Yes, but that's something people always use that as some kind of paragon. Well, maybe that's not the best job at anything. I got more use right now for people with cabinet working skills, which is a lot like brain surgery. I'd say they're probably cabinet guys and gals who make cabinets, cabinetryists. And I've met beautiful, skilled people of all gender identities who do it. Are meticulous, and to a point of being a mental illness. Especially with their tools and everything, say, oh, is that good? That's good enough. But woodworkers, a lot of times, they don't understand good enough. They go, no, it must be perfecter. And you go, can't possibly be. Now you're just doing magic over it. I've seen people do that. A lot of ship people make their own boats and stuff like that. Those kind of people, you go, man, I love you, but there's something deeply wrong. Just like, guess what? Any gaps or something, we'll stick some foam in or whatever. Oh, I know you say, oh, you're not a perfectionist, Hardy, you're sloppy. You're sloppy. What do you do if you came over and ate with me, Hardy, would you ever wipe your face? And I got to tell you, I do not have a luxurious white beard. Those are mashed potatoes. I just haven't, those are side dishes from those country kind of meat and a veg place. It's either potato salad, mashed potatoes, it could be anything, but it's food, it's not hair. Sometimes there's not a distinction. Can hair ever be food? That's one of those things like water everywhere and not a drop to drink. Hair everywhere, but I can't make a sandwich of it. Is what Coleridge said. Many times poetry has come to my rescue, like a small boy with a miniature cask around his neck. And lots of hair. What a hairy little boy. And I was in the Alps, and I thought I was going to freeze to death. And this little fella comes up and he says to me, "Hey, I have whiskey in a collar around my neck." Because that's a, I says, "That's like a hipster thing? Y'all do it? And you're so hairy. Look at that beard." And for some, I should have asked permission to touch his beard. And say, a lot of guys don't like that. You can't just reach out and grab a guy's beard and touch it without asking. Oh, yes, you can. That's the one exception. You probably can do that. And they let out a jolly laugh. I would. Now, I would not be fearful. Go, oh, holy cow. I've seen this in professional wrestling. I am now at a severe disadvantage. I could get a knee in my face. Why didn't I cut this beard? Same things goes for nose rings and long hair. I think, boy, in any kind of professional wrestling fight, I've had it. And why do I think in those terms? How did they get, do you feel like that's normal, Hardy? I guess. I know, that's weird, isn't it? That isn't real life. That's not how people really fight. They do probably hit each other with folding chairs. That part's true. But then they die. And they don't really depict that in the fanciful version, the stage version. It's good. A lot of people decry professional wrestling, and I say, hey, look at how many rear ends we get in seats in theater. Look at it that way. Look how many theater goers we have. I'm sorry if you're an elitist, but boy, you're watching a wonderful show you're watching. And it's traditional. If you go back and you look, if you ever read histories of England and everything, and you look back and you go to the old kind of carnivals they had when people like, what's that giant who discovered all those, the great Belzoni, before he discovered the head of Ramses II and all those Egyptian antiquities, was a giant in the pantomime and all that. Back in the day, by the day I mean 19th century. But you could go and see that. You don't see that anymore. Giants doing tricks. Now they're in the movies. All the giants doing tricks. Oh, bless your heart, the human body. It comes in all shapes and sizes, doesn't it? Well, not all. I mean, sometimes in some generations, we might have the largest person in a good while, or the smallest person in a good while, or the person most shaped like an absolute cube in a good while. Who knows? Y'all have contests like that. Person who looks like a cartoon bulldog or something. They have those kind of contests all the time. And people are willing to even say, I'm not afraid of my face that looks crazy. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to gurn or something, do some gurning, or I'm going to show off my beard, which I have sculpted into something that looks like a hallucinogenic pretzel. And then I'm going to proudly flaunt my nuttiness, because I'm nuts. Oh, the human nut. Aren't we? That's what they call us in other parts of the universe. Are you really a time traveler? Are you a time lord? No. Well, here's the thing. So, it works just like British society, mainly. You got your lords, of which I am not. And then you have everybody else, right? We'll have various things. You can be a baron or whatever. Not one of those. Not a lord. Also, not a subject. The lowliest one is subject, a time subject. I'm not even one of those, because I was born in a time colony. So it's questionable. It's like it's a protectorate. I don't even know. There's a time council appointed time governor. So my status is strange. But one thing I have access to is I may move freely along the plane of time. And it is a plane. I want you to close your eyes and imagine this. Imagine a big field, larger than a football field, larger than a cricket field. And I want you to get, and how thick is it? It's infinitely thin. Well, make it a little thickness so you can visualize it. You see it? Now, how far does it extend in the distance? To the horizon, in your case. So just look up imaginary horizon. How far is the horizon? I don't know. Hold up a couple fingers. It's up there in the middle of your visual field. Okay? So look around. You have a completely empty plane. Now, take that plane and give it absolutely no mass. All right? Now give it all the mass there is. All right? Now, imagine it It's perfectly smooth. All right? All right, are you imagining it? I'm waiting for it because I know there's a little lag, but so I'm getting it. It's hard to get already. It's like holding a plank. It's like holding a mine plank. You know when you have to put your arms out and you tighten those core muscles? I want you to tighten the core muscles of your mind so that you can visualize these things. If you can't visualize that empty space in your head, that completely white room, that plane that goes on infinitely, then you cannot watch any contemporary physics shows because they're going to set you on one of those day one. And you're going to be able to navigate it. So I'm going to have to add stuff to this that's going to be all warped and everything. Balls. That's the first thing. Grab some of them space balls. Oh, my goodness. That's the name of a movie. Do you know, I once saw the fella who made that at a racetrack. I'm not going to tell that story because I don't want to get anybody in trouble. Oh, sometimes when I see celebrities, I want to run up to them and say, hey, I really loved your movie, blah, 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 Young Frankenstein or something. I don't remember if I did, but I don't know. What would I say to Mel Brooks? Hey, Mel.
Hey, good luck to you.
Thanks, Mel. He'd blow me off. And I would want to be. I said, I'm wasting your time. I want to go up to every celebrity I see. I want to go up and go, I know I'm wasting your time. I could have stood back there and not said anything, but I thought that it was best that I come up and tell you I'm wasting your time. So you know that I know that you know that I know that you know. Bless your heart. Thank you for being in the limelight and having lots of money. It's not necessarily the case. So, oh, you look at some of these people, you say, oh, that Kanye West must be a millionaire or something. He doesn't have any money. He doesn't have a cent. He has nothing, is what I heard. I could be wrong. I could be very wrong. I don't know. Gosh, maybe my whole view of society could be mixed up based on some erroneous information. Where do I get my information? Because it's so important. If I get it wrong, I could believe something totally wrong. Oh, my goodness. I could go out there and be a crusader for the absolute wrong cause. How do I know what's right and what's wrong? How do I know that? Well, I'll tell you, there's a couple things I go by. First of all, I try not to hate somebody because I'm told to. I'd like to meet somebody, even if they're awful. I really got to, just let me meet them. I'll get the vibe in 2 seconds. But still, let me get it myself. Let me see if I can get it. Say, I come to you. A lot of people say that you committed all these crimes, murdered a lot of people, stole a lot. I just wanted to meet you face to face. And then 2 seconds later, I go, man, horrible, horrible fella. I can see that now. Do I need to do that? Do I need to meet everybody? Or can I agree to vilify somebody because a friend tells me to? Should you do that? Oh, that's complicated. That's very complicated. I'm going to have to look in my wallet because I've got a little card. So a lot of things that are ethical and moral ethical problems, you say, oh, I'll just solve that when I come to it. And it's hard to do that. So I have this. I don't know if you can hear it. And it's what it is. It's like a tip card. It's like a tip calculator. Say, man, it's just easier to just get out my little tip calculator in my wallet. But this one has a solution to all my moral and ethical choices. I just get it out and say, I gotta remember. You know when you're playing poker and you go, oh, it's three of a kind. Is that better than two pair? It helps to have a little chart. So that's why I got this. Man, it solves some problems. I've been in positions like that. Do I tell a lie, cover for a friend? Do I cover a crime for, you know, even if it's minor? Do I cover for somebody? If I witness a traffic accident, if I'm a passenger, and it's the fault of the driver I'm with, what do I do? Do I cover? Do I say anything? I get this out, and it's solved. What's that? I'm rubbing it on my cheek to let you see that my razor has not done its job. That was an advertisement that when I was a young person, they'd say, hey, we're going to rub a credit card up against this man's cheek not his bottom, his face, to prove that he hadn't shaved. You know, your mother checks your toothbrush, says, is it wet? Did you? And I learned to wet my toothbrush, not like that, you know, under the sink, to pretend I'd, you know, to lie. And I didn't really brush my teeth. Now they've all fallen out. So joke's on me, essentially. But oh, how we deceive our parents. You know, there's people, there's adults that stand up before other adults and they say, you can't deceive me, you gotta tell me what's on your mind. You gotta come clean. I need to know all your secrets and your lies. Oh, that's scary, isn't it? Don't tell me. I just want to say that preemptively. Don't tell me, because maybe if I don't know, I won't get dragged into the problem. Oh, but it's hard not to get our hearts tangled up. I like to look at it this way. Whenever you have any kind of association with people, it's as if you have all shown up to a theater and have taken off your cloaks and overcoats. You have handed them to the cloak person, and the cloak administrator has hung them up in the cloak room, together, touching your jacket, touching the jacket of another, your overcoat, touching your Inverness cape, in intimate contact with an Inverness cape of completely different ownership and origin, perhaps. And they're getting each other on each other. You see what I'm saying? And then when we come back and we leave the theater, even if we haven't had a relationship, our coats have been in there doing it. You see what I'm saying? So you have influence as a person. Oh, there's nothing you can do to avoid participating in this life. You can't drop everything you do. Has some kind of weird consequence. How fun. And some of you can manipulate it to make some people go to prison. Don't do it. Be careful, though. I'm just saying, be careful of what you do and use your power. I want to teach you that, like, I think it's so good, any movies that people can relate to warlocks or witches or wizards or superheroes or something, to teach them how to use their power ethically. Because everybody, people think, I'm not a Harry Potter. I don't have some kind of magic power that I can aim a stick at somebody and say, Shazbot, Shazbot, and all of a sudden they turn into a dead spider. So I don't have to wrestle with moral decisions like that. It doesn't come up. I do not have great powers. I cannot crush a person by making my hand come together in a crushy gesture. Like the Hulk, or not the pizzeria, that's a restaurant. What am I talking about? Any one of them can crush. All right? Now, because people think they don't have these special powers, they think they don't have special responsibilities. But I'm telling you, you are got that wizard power, Harry Potter. You do have a magic wand. That magic wand is the focus of your attention. Those are your thoughts. Those are your actions. And as you aim and direct them at other people and you say Shazbot and Agrarian or one of the other magic words, Ante Pacumptus, all the made-up Latin, there's so much made-up Latin. I predict a time where made-up Harry Potter Latin will be a class you can take at university, but not actual Latin. Isn't that neat? Like to be also Klingon, but no French. Are they related languages? To me, they are. To my ear, my very naive ear. You have powers. You are a superhero. You got to obey the superhero code. And know that you do have all this. You need to control it. And people who are powerless like to test their powers. They think they're powerless, and so they point their fingers and they go, Shigazgandagingi! And they wreak havoc because, of course, it's working. Why can't you see it? There's a Star Trek episode where the phasers had worked on the
clear cages of the large brain people of Talitz 4, okay? But they had mentally been prevented from seeing that their phasers had made a gaping, burning hole. And that there's a mindset like that, that you don't see that your phasers have made a gaping, burning hole in the plexiglass cone of silence there of life, that you've injured somebody else. You don't see it. You just keep pointing that phaser. And you say, I'm powerless. Look at me. I'm powerless. Look at me. Everybody else has power, superheroes. Everybody has magic power, spells and everything. Everybody can kill or wound or anything with it. And I can't. Look, I can't. And so you keep... And the whole time it's working. And you don't realize what you've done. And then it says, sent you to Akaban. With a Z. I guess it's Zazaban. Which I thought was a New Orleans spice brand or something. Make it spicy with Zazaban. Apparently it's a wizard prison. But to me it just tastes like Old Bay or something. That's not from... Hey, listen. I love to give shout-outs to all sorts of communities. Where are you living across the country? Oh, I hear from people in New York City. I hear from people in Jersey City. I hear from people in all parts of New Jersey. I hear from people in the beautiful town of Philadelphia. I hear from people up there in Burlington, Vermont. I hear from people down there in Atlanta, Georgia. Oh, shout-out to Atlanta, Georgia. Shout-out to Dalton. Oh, I hear from people in Tallahassee, Florida. I hear from people down... They're in St. Lucie. Oh, I hear from people in Minneapolis. I hear from my Chicago friends. Shout out to my Chicago friends. Oh, I hear from you out there in California. I hear from you out there in Northern California. I hear from you out there in Southern California, Los Angeles, California. I hear from all my friends out there in Oregon. I hear from all my friends out there in Washington State. I hear from all my friends in Baltimore, Maryland. Shout out to Baltimore, Maryland. I've been hearing from my friends in Tennessee. Oh, I got lots of friends in Tennessee. Dear friends in Tennessee. Tennessee. And I got friends in Kentucky. Oh, I love my friends in Kentucky. And I love my friends in East Kentucky. Shout out to West Kentucky. Shout out to Cincinnati, Shout out to Cincy. Oh, bless your heart. Oh, I look out there. I look out west, and I see my friends out there in Arizona. Why, you're not listening. I'm only listening to people that I hear from. Now, if you're out there and you're listening to me, and they say, oh, New Orleans, and you haven't let me know, I don't know you're there necessarily. Oh, but the minute that I can see you, and a little light lights up, like Dr. Xavier when he has his helmet on, sees everybody. See you now, you little light. Oh, show yourself to Hardy, you little light angel. I want to see you dance around. Friend, oh, I'm glad we have this network of friendships. I'm glad that you're here for my little radio show, which is a play within a show within a play, within a show within a life, within a life within a show, within a show. It's like Inception, within a life within a show. Within a show about Inception. It's so it's like meta. It's like taking the word meta, chopping it up, making some kind of non-linear, making a broth of it, really, where everything is not where it previously was. If you could do that, if you could take particles or just bits of information and put them exactly where they weren't. And then wear that on your head. Oh, my friend, it's so good to be with you. What have you been listening to? I don't even know what this is. I'll tell you, it's Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, WFMU.org, and 91.9 in Rockland County. Thank you for listening to us there. And I hope that you would join us again, bless you, next week. Oh, have a wonderful week, my friends.
Lord, I need you, Lord.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Clementa Pinckney found that grace. Cynthia Hurd found that grace. Susie Jackson found that grace. Ethel Lance found that grace. The Payne Middleton doctor found that grace. Tywanza Sanders found that grace. Daniel L. Simmons Sr. found that grace. Sharonda Coleman Singleton found that grace. Myra Thompson found that grace. Through the example of their lives, they've now passed it on to us. May we find ourselves worthy of that precious and extraordinary gift. As long as our lives endure, may grace now lead them home. May God continue to shed His grace on the United States of America.